Amen. Well, this morning, we are beginning our new series called Future Matters. You see the Back to the Future font and everything that we have there and the logo for the series? Taking people back in time. Man, that was a long time ago. There are kids these days that have no clue what Back to the Future is. Good. Yeah, that's a good point, too. So this study that we're going to be embarking on called Future Matters, it's going to be several weeks of discussing the matters of the future and also why our future matters. We're going to be spending a lot of time in our primary text, which is going to be the book of Revelation. And there are some really good reasons why we are intentionally going to pursue what the Bible has to say about our future, about the end times. Let's look at Revelation 1, verse 3. God would say to us this morning, blessed or blessed is the one who reads the words of this prophecy. The revelation of God's plan for our future. Blessed is the one who reads this, who studies what I have to say about the future. And blessed, it continues, blessed are those who hear it and don't let it go in one ear and out the other, but actually hear it and take to heart what is written in it, because the time is near. So we can expect to be blessed as a people, as individuals, as families, as the body of Christ, as a church. We can expect to be blessed as we study God's prophecy about our future that's recorded here in the book of Revelation. So I have a question for you. Are you ready to be blessed?
Amen.
Yes. That's a promise from God right here in His Word. We will be blessed as we embark on this study. But I want to tell you this. I'm not going to stand up here and let you know the date and time that Jesus is returning. I'm not going to do it. I'm sorry. Some of you might want to get up and leave at this point. That's what you came for. It's not going to happen. That's not the intention of this study. However, what we will be doing and what we can expect is we're going to take a serious look at what God has to say about our future. What He has to say right here in His Word about our future. And it will greatly impact us as we take it to heart. Most of you know the topic of end times. The study of the book of Revelation is often ignored. People and even pastors seem to be afraid of it. Afraid to study it, afraid to teach it. A lot of people have that mindset, well, whatever will be, will be. Whatever's going to happen is going to happen. So why worry about it? Why think about it? God says, study it. Hear it. Take it to heart. It's important. I want you to know this. I gave you this on purpose. There's a reason why I've written this down. There's a reason why I told this to John. And why I've given it to you in Scripture. Hear it. Study it. Read it. Take it to heart. We're choosing to dive in. We're choosing to go for it. Even though conventional wisdom says, stay away. Even though the pastor's handbook, if there is one, I don't know, there probably is, says, oh, don't go there. It could be divisive. No. God says there's blessing for the people who go there and study it. So we're going to cast off fear. We're going to see what God has to say to us. And so this morning is our introduction. I have 3 points that I want us to cover as we're introducing future matters. The first point is this. What we believe about our future affects our present. What we believe about our future dynamically influences our present. What we believe about where we're going, about what we will do when we get there and how we get there, influences how we live today, right now. It says in Lamentations 1, verse 9. Lamentations 1, verse 9. When's the last time you were in the book of Lamentations? All right, well, we're here just for a moment. Lamentations 1, verse 9. She, meaning Israel, meaning God's people, we are now members of that category, of that group, of that family, God's people. God's people did not consider their future. Therefore, their fall or their collapse was astounding. I want to consider our future. Our destiny is not one of collapse. But if we don't consider our future, understand our future, this is the result. Calamity, collapse. Without a clear picture of what God has planned for us tomorrow, what happens? We live carelessly, we live aimlessly, and we live unproductively right now today. Proverbs 29:18. Proverbs 29:18. God's Word says, where there is no revelation, meaning no vision of the future, no understanding of what God has in store for us and planned for us, the people cast off restraint. In the King James Version, it says, where there's no vision, the people actually perish. They die. Where there's no revelation or understanding of the revelation that God has for us, people don't live out their calling, their destiny. So the lack of understanding what God has in store for our future can actually create an identity crisis. It can have us doing life aimlessly. Not having a vision, not having a revelation of what God has in store for us can cause us to have an identity crisis. How many of you know there are a lot of people who call themselves Christians who have an identity crisis? Who are just kind of going through life. They kind of know who they are, but not really. They really don't know where they're going. They're just trying to make it through the day. We need to be people who have a vision and an understanding of who we are, not just today, but for eternity also. It's easy to get caught into that identity crisis trap. Very easy. The world's a booger, isn't it? It is. It's tough. It's rough, man. It's so easy to get wrapped up in the present because life comes at us fast. Comes at us hard often. Life is not easy. It's difficult. It can be painful. It can want to consume us. The pressures, the concerns, and yes, even the desires sometimes that we have for today, they consume us. Remember what busy can mean. B-U-S-Y. Being under Satan's yoke. I'm telling you, the more I live life, the more I agree with that statement. That when we get so busy, we have no time for God, and that's not God's plan. So whose plan is it? Yeah. Busyness is being under Satan's yoke. Busyness can keep us from even being able to see beyond today and look to what God has for us in the future. Busyness can create an identity crisis where we're just living in the present, living for whatever the world's throwing at us today, just coping with it. And that's who we are. But also having no vision and not looking forward can also create an identity crisis because we can be wrapped up in our past. So we got the present that can mess us up. It can take us over and say, this is who you are and this is who you're always going to be. And this is what your destiny is, just making it through another day. And then we have our past that creates an identity crisis in us too, if we live in the past. The past can actually create chains that prevent us from moving into our God-ordained future. Most of us don't have pure, perfect pasts. But we're new creations now in Christ Jesus. And the past is no longer who we are. At one time, I used to be this way. At one time, I was identified in that way. But now, because of Christ, but now, read the Word of God. It's all over the New Testament. The past can create chains that prevent us from moving into our God-ordained future and can actually prevent us from even seeing our future. Because we're so wrapped up in the past, we can't even see what God has designed for us and what He has in store for us. So many things are battling against us, trying to prevent us from living out our God-ordained destiny. But the truth will set us free. Amen? The truth is going to set us free. The truth of God's Word, of His revelation, of His prophecy about who we are, whose we are, and what our future has in store for us will set us free from those chains. And we're going to be blessed by this study. It says in Romans 12, don't be conformed, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We're going to be transformed in this study by the renewing of our mind. By understanding God's plan and the destiny that He has for us, the church, His people, so that we can live today out of that reality. Not out of the reality of our past or the present chaos, but out of the reality of where we're going, what we're going to be doing when we get there, who we're going to be with. How many of you are familiar with the story about the rich young ruler? The encounter that Jesus had with a guy that was called the rich young ruler. So obviously we know the guy was rich, he was young, and he had power, right? This rich young ruler. And if you remember the story, this guy, this rich young ruler comes to Jesus and he says, "Teacher, teacher, what must I do to have eternal life? What must I do to go into my destiny, into my future? Show me the way to my future." And Jesus said, "All right, well, you got to obey the commandments of God." And this rich young ruler said, "I've done that. Since I was a kid, I've done that." And Jesus said, "Great." He didn't challenge him. He agreed with him, which is an incredible thing. We are called to obey the commands of God. And then Jesus said, "But there's one more thing." And this young man was like, "Hey, no problem. Let me have it. I'm ready to go into my future." Jesus said, "Sell everything you have. Come follow me." Jesus said, "Let go of your identity that you have right now. Come follow me. Let go of who you've become and what the world's created you to be. And let go of all that and come into your future as a disciple of mine, as a follower of mine. Let go of that identity. Come follow me." Unfortunately, Scripture shows us that the young man walked away sad because he had much wealth. He was chained to his past. And he was unwilling to walk away from the identity that he had in his present and walk into his future. I mean, this guy had the chance to actually walk with Jesus on this earth. Hey, as we continue our study, you're going to find out that that's exactly the chance and the opportunity that we're going to have too. How are we going to respond to that question. Let go of your identity that you currently have, of the identity of the past. I've got something greater for you. Come on, follow me into the future. We must be people who are concerned not only with where we've been, not only with where we are, but where are we going? Where is God taking us? We've got to have that on the top of our mind. And we must be people of hope. Because what is hope? Hope is to have assurance or confidence in what? The future. You don't hope for something that's already happened. You hope for something that is yet to occur, yet to happen. So to have hope is to have assurance or confidence in the future. And as people of God and as the children of God, our hope needs to be in what God has in store for us for the future. And so if we're going to be people of hope, we've got to know what our future is so that we can hope in our future. Hope transforms us and it affects us today. A lot of people walking around this world are hopeless. This world breeds hopelessness. But I'm telling you what, when you read God's Word and you look at the future that He has in store for us, you cannot remain hopeless. You can't when you get your eyes off of the messiness and just the brutality that this world comes at us with, and you get your eyes on the future that God has for you. Hope will rise. We're called to be people of hope with our assurance in what God has in store for us in the future. Romans 15:13. Let me give you a few scriptures about hope. Romans 15:13. May the God of hope, the God of hope, the God of the future, past, present, and future, the same yesterday, today, and forever, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him for what He has in store for you, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Not made up hope, but because the Spirit of God is bubbling it up with inside of you, because you're focusing on what God has in store for you. Says in 1 John 3, verses 2 and 3. Dear friends, now we are children of God. Some of you need to be reminded of that this morning. We are children of God. Not just servants, but we are children, family members of God. And what we will be, meaning our future, what we will be, has not yet been made known. But we know that when He appears, it's talking about our future now, when in the future, when He, Jesus, appears, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And everyone who has this hope of the return of Jesus, of seeing Him face to face, of walking with Him, everyone who has this hope, this understanding of their future, purifies himself, lives a certain way now, lives differently now because of that understanding of the future, of our hope, of where we're going and what it's going to be. So we live differently right now, just as He is pure, just as Christ lived differently and is different. And so again, what we believe about our future dynamically affects who we are now, how we live today. I want to tell you a story. There's a guy by the name of Viktor Frankl. He lived from 1905 to 1997. He was born in Vienna, and he is a psychologist. But this guy spent years and years in German concentration camps during World War II. One of them was Auschwitz. After he got out, as a psychologist, he did some studies. And he analyzed Holocaust survivors. He wanted to understand these Holocaust survivors, and he categorized them into two groups. One was those who were living stable, productive, healthy lives. And then the other groups was those who were not. who are struggling with life, who are depressed, who weren't handling things well. And here's what the study showed us, that the predominant factor was not what they experienced before the war. The predominant factor of whether they were healthy or unhealthy wasn't even what happened to them during the war in the concentration camps. But the predominant factor that dictated the kind of life that they were living today was what they believed about their future. Did they have hope, or were they hopeless? An identity grounded in the past, especially the hurts of the past, can end up creating a prison that prevents us from walking into our God-ordained future. We must be people who look toward the future, who look toward the destiny that God has for us as His children. Let's go to point number two. Point number two is our present is not disconnected from our future. What I'm saying is that when we're born again by the powerful grace of Jesus Christ, everything changes, including our future. We are born again. We have new life in Christ Jesus. And so what I'm saying with this point is when that new life starts, it continues on for all eternity. See, some people have a wrong thinking that there's this life on this earth, and when that ends, then there's a new life in eternity. But that's not what the Bible tells us. The Bible tells us that there's life before Christ and apart from God, and then there's life in Christ and with God. And that change happens in this life. Not when we die. It needs to happen in this life. This is when we choose. This is when we make that transformation from the old to the new. And when we are born again in Christ Jesus, our future begins at that moment. And we are new creations. We're no longer sinners, but we are saints because we've been redeemed, we've been justified, and then we go through the process of being sanctified as we move toward our eternity with Him forever. But that eternity, that future, starts the moment that we are born again. The moment that we get the deposit of the Holy Spirit within us and the justification that comes from Jesus Christ, we are born again and our future begins. And so we've got to stop thinking wrongly about how that transition happens, because some people come to Christ, but they live the rest of their life on this broken world as if their future hasn't started yet, really. As if He's just there to fix a few things to help them cope until they go into eternity. But their real future starts when they pass from this life into the next one. But that's not true. Here's the issue. When we feel disconnected from eternity as the people of God, when we feel disconnected to our future, we end up living lives focused on unimportant temporal activities like the rich young ruler. And there are people who are Christians, who have been justified, who have received Christ Jesus, who have been born again, that are continuing to live as though their lives haven't fully, completely changed. And they don't understand where they're going and what they're doing and what they're investing in right now. And so they don't store up treasures in heaven. They continue in the rat race of life right now as if nothing's changed, and they continue to store up treasures here on earth where moth and rust and the government will steal them. Yeah. Right?
Amen.
But we've been born again, and so we get to store up treasures in heaven. And those treasures that we're storing up now, those things that we're doing now, are building and will continue to build. And when these bodies die and we get our new bodies, what we've done will continue to build, because those treasures, those things we've done that matter today, will be there, and there will be effect in eternity because of the things we've done now. That's what I'm saying, is that our present is not disconnected from our future. Which leads me to point number three. What we believe about the end times, about our future, affects what we pursue today. What we believe about our future affects what we pursue today, what we chase after, what's important to us. Many people dream of their future as if eternity isn't a reality. Listen to this. Their dreams are really limited simply to the reality of their fantasies of life in this age. I'm dreaming of retirement. I'm dreaming of a new car, a new house. I'm dreaming of for a husband. I'm dreaming for, you know, this to happen or that to happen. These are my dreams. And we limit our dreams sometimes to this world, to just really fantasies of the present age that we can experience in this age. It says in Proverbs 13:12, hope deferred makes the heart sick. Another way of putting that is dreams are shattered when we pursue the wrong things. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a longing fulfilled is a tree of life. Let me talk to you about this principle here from Proverbs. If your hope is in the wrong thing, if your hope is in fantasies of this world, if your dreams are only dreams to be fulfilled in this life right now, I'm telling you, your heart will remain sick. Because your hope is not in Jesus Christ and what He has in store for us all eternity. What you're dreaming of is only for today, not for eternity. Not the big God-sized things that are really in store for us. And so there's many people running around the world today that are chasing after these little fantasies of this age. I want to be a millionaire. I was one of them. I wanted to be a millionaire by age 35. It didn't happen, but it was a fantasy that was built on the wrong thing. And there's many people, that's their dream, that's their fantasy, that's what they're pursuing. And so they go after it, and they get it, and their hearts are still sick. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. Their hope was in something false, in something temporal. I want to be rich and famous. I want people to know who I am. I want power. I want money. I want millions. There's somebody in the news right now, Demi Moore. It's not a secret. I can say it. Demi Moore. Rich. Popular. Famous. Has everything. All the dreams of the world she has accomplished and experienced. But her heart is still sick. It's broken. Because her hope is in the wrong place. Dreams are short-sighted, misguided, and not eternal in scope. That's going to result in sick hearts. It's not common. Actually, it's all too common for people to replace the God-ordained reality of eternity with self-imagined fantasies of this age. They're just replacements. They're cheap. They won't last. It's like toys made in China. In Stephen Covey's book, The Seven Habits of Highly Effective Leaders, one of the habits that he highlights is this, quote, the need to have a clear picture of the end product before we begin the act. If you're going to be a highly effective leader, you've got to have a clear picture of the end product before you go after it. Here's what the Bible has to say. It says Stephen Covey stole this from God's Word, I'm going to tell you right now. Look to Luke 14, verses 28 through 30. Jesus is doing a little bit of teaching here. And he says, suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Will he not first sit down and estimate the cost to see if he has enough money to complete it? For if he lays the foundation and is not able to finish it, Everyone who sees it will ridicule him, saying, this fellow began to build, was not able to finish it. Jesus is saying, look, you got to understand where you're going. You got to understand what your future is so that you're building toward your future. Because if you just start building and not knowing where you're going, you're not going to get to where you're supposed to be going. You're going to be sorely disappointed. So I have a few questions for you. Do you have a clear picture of the end product? Do you have a clear picture of the future that God has ordained for you? Is your vision eternal in scope and perspective? Or is it still temporal? Are you living life today knowing that you're living for and investing in eternity? Those are important questions. Because you see, God has big plans for your life. Every one of us. He has big plans for us. He has a big future for us. Bigger than any career. Larger than a new car, a new house. Way more important than retirement. God has a big future for us. The future's bright. Remember that song back in the day, future's so bright you gotta wear shades. Those of you of my age understand what I'm talking about. It is though. The future is bright for the people of God, and we've got to know what that future is so that we get excited about it, we're filled with hope, and we begin to press toward that. So we don't let the things of this world, the road bumps that can be pretty painful, so we don't let those things jar us and get us off track. So that we're consumed with what God has in store for us and not what the world is doing to us. The future is bright, and the future is now. And we have the privilege, those of us who are born again in Christ Jesus, we have the privilege to be living out our future right now. We have the great opportunity and responsibility to be investing in that future right now. And so we're going to spend the next several weeks diving in to what God says about our future. To looking at the revelation that God has given the people of God, His children, of what's in store for us. So let me just let you know what some of the topics are going to be. Hopefully this will keep you coming back. I know you don't need anything like that. You love being together and you love worshiping the Lord together. Some of the topics, though, that we're going to cover in the study are going to be the return of Christ. Jesus is coming back. In fact, that is the centerpiece of God's eternal purpose for all of history, is the return of His Son. So we're going to talk about that. What does that mean to us? What does that look like? We're going to answer a few questions like, where do Christians spend eternity? Everyone's like, I know that. Okay. Let's go to God's Word. Where do Christians spend eternity? We're going to look at what God's Word has revealed to us about what do Christians do for eternity. We're going to talk about the rapture, the tribulation, the judgments. God talks a lot about that stuff in His prophecy to us about the end times. Let's not be afraid of that. Let's look at that. What does that mean? What does that mean to us, the church? What does that look like? There's this whole thing that we see in the Word of God about hastening the day. What role does the church play in the return of Christ? Do we play any role at all? Are we just bystanders? Or do we have a role in the future, in God's ordained future? Let's look to the Word of God and see what He has to say about that. We need to know, don't we? The body of Christ needs to know this stuff. We're going to look at those seven letters that were written to the seven churches in the book of Revelation. Why? Because it matters. Because those letters reveal things to us that we need to hear now so that we're prepared for our future. There's some good warnings in there for us. We need to take them to heart. We need to heed them. And then we're going to probably wrap it up with, so now what? Based on everything God's Word is saying about the future, about where we're going, how we get there, what's going to happen, what it looks like, our role in it. Now what? We're the people of God. Now what? So the study is going to help us look at life God's way and will help us see that our future really matters. Are you all ready to do this? Are you on board for it? Are you ready to be changed? Are you ready to be people of hope? We need hope, and God's Word's going to give it to us. Amen? Let me close in prayer. Lord, I thank you for your Word. God, I thank you that you love us so much that you have revealed to us our future. That you've shown us where we're going, how we're going to get there. And God, I ask that we would be people who get it and that we would get excited about it. And God, that as we get it, I know that we will be blessed. And I know that one of those blessings is that our hope is going to rise up. We will be people of hope because we know what you have in store for us. So Lord, I just even ask that this week as a body, as we're preparing to move forward in this study, Lord, that you would be working on our minds. Holy Spirit, would you work on our minds, that our minds and our hearts would be fertile soil, that any hardening would be loosened, that, Lord, that we would be Bereans too in your word, and that we would be seeking truth, that we would be people truly seeking you in spirit and in truth. God, have your way with your church. I am excited what you have in store for us. May you be glorified, God, and may your church be lifted up. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.